We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
All right. We began the teaching last week, and I thought to a point I could not go further. I had to address a lot of issues. Partly some of the things I addressed are issues that cause a stumbling block in our walk with God. I call them cares of this life. When you are weighed down by cares, you can't serve God. You know, I was in Ondo this week. I went to minister and also fellowship with God's servant in Ondo, Reverend Busui. And we had a wonderful time in Ondo. Great work that God is doing there. One of the ministrations was Pastor Tosin. I was teaching on discipleship. And I told him, I said, this is exactly the spirit in Ibadan. This is what we're emphasizing. You can't journey so far if you're not a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean a disciple of the teaching of Christ. So, and one of the things the teaching of Christ teaches you is to live above the cares of this life. So you can't be in this kind of church and hearing doctrine week in, week out, and you are still holding to cares of life. That's why we need to. So I think last week was just like evangelizing with Christ. I was evangelizing with Christ's message. People should follow the Lord wholeheartedly. All right? You can't be a company of two armies if you are married to this world or cares and you're always worried about what comes about your life. Everybody that followed Jesus was very stern with them. If you want to follow the Lord Jesus, all right, Jesus will ask you questions. Take me to Matthew 9. Let me start there. Let me just trend in what. Okay, let's start from here and then I'll go to Luke 9, all right? Let me just trend in what I taught last week again. As a basis of growing, this is not my message, but Satan fights us with this world a lot. And a lot of people think we are not balanced because we don't teach this world. All right? If I start teaching 7 steps to making it every week, some people will like me more. I'm not doing this for you to like. You don't, please don't like me. You don't need to like me. I want Jesus to like me. If you start teaching people how to make money, they will say you are balanced. Yes, Pastor Dimitri, all these Christ things, they are just making people heavily relevant and earthly foolish. There's nobody that is pursuing eternal life that can be foolish. Well, you didn't hear what I said. If you are pursuing the hope of the gospel, you can't be foolish. If you have wisdom to handle this life better. Can we say amen? We use this world without abusing it. We use the world, yes. I'm not a religious person. But we have to put God where God belongs and put the world or cares where they belong. And that's what people don't like, all right? So if you love this world, you can't follow God. That's just the truth. If you are bogged down by cares, you can't follow God. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are what I call, they're called beatitudes, but they are instructions to disciples. All right? So if you're not a disciple, you won't like those messages. They will not suit you. A disciple is, when I mean disciple, disciples of Christ. You know, at every level of the names of God, there's discipleship. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 19, Jesus says, go ye into the world. This is not evangelical, it is apostolic. He says, make me what? Go therefore and teach all nations. I like the word teach. Didasco. Instruct nations. So you will teach, comma, then baptizing. So teaching comes before immersing people. The word baptizing is the word baptizo. It means to wholly immerse nations or to baptize souls into the experience of knowing God. I need an amen on that. So this is not teaching of biblical truth. This is not sermonizing. This is teaching the whole counsel of God. By that, you have to teach the syllabus of salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What did I say you have to teach? The curriculum of salvation is what you need to teach. The Bible has a message inside. All right? You need to read the Bible to find the message. And the message is from the Holy Ghost to the Father are on the message of the dominion of God's nature. So when we say kingdom message, we are not talking about first how to take over physical territory. Can we say amen? Amen. Jesus did not take over any physical territory when he was on the earth. He didn't even bother taking anything physical. But how many of you know that Jesus took out the throne of sin and death? Yes, that is kingdom. By instituting, God instituted dominion in Jesus. Jesus was a dominion personality. He was a being of dominion. So he could exert dominion. Can we say amen? Amen. First, over the forces of sin and death. If there's no dominion in the spirit, it is not real on earth. Right? So when you say kingdom, it's talking about the dominion of God in man. Man itself was created as a being of dominion. Making man after the image and likeness of God is making man have dominion. You cannot have dominion without the image and glory or image and likeness. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. So you teach all nations is to teach men, and then you now baptize them to the experience of knowing God. And now it says, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we understand that that's a full spectrum of all the natures of God. So it means that there is a particular emphasis that we must be emphasizing. So coming to the inheritance of the Holy Ghost, the inheritance of the Son, and the inheritance of the Father. Can we say amen? Amen? So are you getting all this? So this is what we call discipleship. Discipleship is to raise men in this order. Raise disciples of the Holy Ghost. Raise disciples of the Son. Then finally, raise disciples of the Father. Then it's now disciples of the Father that can inherit eternal life. So eternal life is not even, the name of eternal life is not in this tree. This is from milk to everlasting life. Can we say amen? Amen. What did I say this is from? So name of the Father is the curriculum of salvation. That's the full curriculum of salvation. So a disciple of the Father is an inheritor of divine nature. What did I say a disciple of the Father is? That's the Son of God that has inherited divine nature. And has been sealed with the name of the Father. Then you can now receive the promise of eternal life, which is the name of the only true God. So you can't be weighed down by this life and inherit the inheritances in God. Even somebody, Pastor Siji, you can't even inherit the name of the Holy Ghost and love this world. Yes. You know, the world is in phases. They must have broken you from the measure of this world to have the name of the Holy Ghost. Think about Stephen. Stephen had the name of the Holy Ghost as a seal. So that's a man that is separated to a degree. He had a measure of stature of holiness. Stephen cannot be weighed down by things of this world and be full of the Holy Ghost. Someone cannot be full of Holy Ghost and is pursuing everything in this world. So to be full of the name of the Holy Ghost, there is a consecration that you will have from the fashion of this world. It is now becomes more in Christ. So even in the name of the Holy Ghost, many of our fathers in the general church, they are Holy Ghost men. And you can see that many of them, in different stature, if you see them, they are Holy Ghost men. At least full Holy Ghost men. Some of them have more than that, but I'm just saying the minimum. Many of them are Holy Ghost men. You can't doubt that Bishop Oyedepo is a full Holy Ghost man. It's not, you can't doubt that I believe he's even more. Or Daddy Adeboy. Those are Holy Ghost men. I believe that they have seal of the Holy Ghost already. Many of us here, we don't have Holy Ghost seal. We still don't have Holy Ghost seal yet. So it means that even in the church that they are teaching the doctrine of Christ and the Father, they are still administering seal of the Holy Ghost. Meaning they will have to still teach you the life that is in the Holy Ghost and then seal you of that life. The very good thing is that they're running the training in parallels. In one season, God is doing a lot of work. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, you're not saying an amen with that?
Amen.
So it was Ephesian church that was sealed. It's not you. Paul was talking to an Ephesian church that had already finished the curriculum of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know why am I starting here again. The Lord has drawn me back again. Can we say amen?
Amen.
In womb, look at that. Start from verse 12. Is it from verse 12? Thank you. It's not a bad place to start. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. So there's something called fullness of time. The fullness of time is when they want to complete the work of redemption. What did I say? Let's say that again. So, it's to make witnesses of God. All right? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both things, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So I taught in Ondo, and I want to say that I said that heaven and earth is a concept in God. It's beyond the physical heaven and earth. God is the God of heaven and earth. Okay, so you have earth of God and you have heaven of God. And that's how doctrine is. Doctrine of the New Testament, they are after the earth and the heaven of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And that's how God raises men. He will raise you as first a man of the earth. When I mean earth, I'm not talking about this world or this corrupted earth. I'm talking about earth and its in its original form.
Yes,
then he will make you a man of heaven. So Jesus said, all powers in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So those powers are powers not of the present. They are powers of nature of the world to come.
Amen.
What did I say they are? Come on, say that again. Let's say it one more time. So, an earthy man is a man of the world to come. Christ, the new man, is an earthy man. Then the heavenly man is a man of heavenly nature or everlasting life that climaxes in the promise of eternal life. So you can see, earth and heaven is a measurement of building in God. That's how God builds. God builds from his earth to his heaven. So this is how apostles will walk. They will first raise disciples that are of the Holy Ghost and of the Son, Christ. I'm coming back here. So name of the Holy Ghost and name of Christ, they are both of the earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
The name of the Father and of the eternal God. And the Father is both the living and the true. So when you look at the living and the true God are everlasting names of the Father. their heavenly places in the Father. What did I say there? So you can see those are heavens of God. Now, why am I saying all this? Ephesians. No, we are still on Ephesians. So fullness of time is when the church has gathered all the inheritances. All of them, they will be full in the church. All right? Now look at verse 12, because of time. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. That's past tense. So the Ephesian church had trusted milk. I believe they even, some of them had gone beyond milk. But they are trusted milk. You know, I told you to ever say trust. To come into trust, you'll have come into love. Trust is more than faith. Trust is more than believing. Trust includes loving. So a man of trust is higher than a man of faith. When a man is trusting, he's in love. So it means he has journeyed beyond the faith of something to the love of that thing. So you now know that this is further confirmed in verse 15. But you know that the Ephesian church had already trusted in the milk of the word. They are trusted in the apostles' doctrine. And because of trust, they were sealed. Glory to God. Kai, this is good. So trust is a sealing, showing that you have completed the curriculum at a level of your growth with God. Now, this is the way we read epistles. You see, it's messy. You know, we also grew to, we didn't know everything like this. We grew. It's just messy. You have to see scriptures from an apostolic spirit. Scripture, epistles have age. Right, only age. So you just read it, you know, you just read something, say you just put yourself inside the picture. That can happen at a level. When you grow, you will understand the different people each epistles are written to. You will understand. It takes some measure of growth and mercy to see that. So an apostle writes an epistle, but is addressing people at different levels of growth. Can we say amen? Pastor CG, the same people Ephesians chapter 1 is addressing. It's not the same people Ephesians chapter 6 is addressing. Same church. Same epistle. Somebody that just finished milk cannot put on the whole armor of God. Can we say amen? In fact, that whole armor of God, let me just go ahead of myself. It's not the whole armor of, it's the whole armor of the living God. Is the whole armor of the living God. When you study those armors well, they are all vestures of the armor of the living God. There were churches of the living God. By the time there were churches of the true God, they were already in the epistles of John. So when you are treating the epistles of John, you are treating Omega epistle. So most of the epistles of the apostles were Alpha epistles. So there were more of living God epistles. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
So when you want to see Omega epistle, you are looking at Jude, John, 2 Peter, 2 Corinthians. All those second. Many of them are most of them living partly true. But when you want to say true, complete true epistles, epistles of the true God, John epistles. Because as a John, the true light was now shining. So those are epistles of the true God. Jude, the book of Revelation. So epistles have age. You can't just put them all together like that. You just need help to know what season each epistle now begins to become relevant to our walk with God. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
can we say amen?
Amen?
So trusted, there is past tense. It's after you have heard the word of truth. The gospel of what? Your salvation. So this is salvation at the level of the name of the Holy Ghost. Like we have taught you before, salvation is a journey. It's more than an event. New birth initiates the journey of salvation. So all the names that Jesus commissioned the apostles to teach are all measurements of salvation. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? Now, so gospel of your salvation in Ephesians 1:12, that they trusted and they were sealed is name of the Holy Ghost. So apostles' doctrine is also gospel of salvation at a measure. I don't know if you are... Am I making any sense? Because look at the way they render the epistle. It says, in whom you also trusted. To trust something is to use that thing. So Ephesian church has used milk. After ye heard the word of truth. So you can't trust except you hear. Are you seeing wisdom? Pastor Onesimus. You can see it. It says after. So you can't trust until you hear that word. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed. So you have to hear and believe. Then you will trust. Hear, believing, and trusting. Faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. So you can see, you have to journey from the faith of that doctrine to the love of that doctrine, or to the trust of that doctrine. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you cannot seal until you finish the season of that light. You were sealed, past tense. So you will just say, after you trusted and believed, and I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. No, you didn't hear what they heard. So it was motivational gospel that you heard. It's not even gospel. Motivational talk you heard. When you got born again, you heard a little bit of repentance from dead work. Small faith. And the remaining thing is wisdom of this world. That they don't see people with wisdom of this world. A lot of people ogbon agba lo nlo church ogbon egbon ogbon 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 agba. We have a lot of people with sensual wisdom. Some ministers, they teach sensual wisdom from pulpits. Ogbon omo aye yi, because so they don't seal anybody except they come into the end of a truth. You come into the climax of a truth, then you are sealed. Please take me back to Ephesians. So you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I'm just emphasis on where. What does that where signify? What does where signify? So we can conclude that the Ephesian church had moved beyond the seal of the Holy Ghost. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So you can see the wisdom of the way up. So the Epistle of Ephesians is actually a book. It's not just a book. It's a book of books. Chapter 1 is a book. You know, we boast of writing books. This man wrote 6 chapters. You don't understand? It's books. Epistles are books. So, epistle to Ephesians is books. Chapter 1, books. Chapter 2, I didn't say book. Chapter 1 is not book, it's books. Chapter 2, books. Chapter 3, books. And each chapter is a journey forward. Hallelujah. You think twice before you call yourself apostle. When you understand this, you just respect yourself. That's why Baba Libi will not call himself apostle. He's very wise. They have some level of fear. You know, some guys that they can't even teach epistle. I'm always waiting for many of these apostles. Just teach, let me hear you teach epistle. Just teach Ephesians. Stay there for 1 year. Just stay on Ephesians. Just interpret Paul. You can't interpret Paul, you are not an apostle. You can't interpret John, you are not an apostle. Most are evangelists. Because if you cannot stay with the epistle, and you can stay with the epistle and interpret the whole Bible from epistle sites, you can't be an apostle of the New Testament. To rest, pastor, to rest inside the epistle. So you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you can see where. So this is the name of the Holy Ghost. So the name of the Holy Ghost is a name of promise. What did I say? What did I say it is? So it's a promise for the others. It's the other names, which is the name of the Son and the name of the Father and the name of God. Name of that one is the reward. So it says you are sealed with the name of the Holy with the seal of the Holy Ghost. It's still the same thing. So seal of the Holy Ghost is the name of the Holy Ghost. What did I say? So you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the what? The earnest of our inheritance. So it means the others are inheritance. All right? Now, mind you, the name of the Father is not separate from Christ. So you cannot enter the Father without Christ. You see, Christ is hid in God. Can we say amen? Amen? That's why Christ is a mystery, Pastor CG. So, Satan never knew that there was a mystery of Christ. Because it was as if God just brought out something new. Because it takes the mystery of Christ to pick man from dust. Yes, sir. So this was Satan's plan. Satan attacked man at the garden level. Yes, sir. And the man in the garden was an everlasting man or a man of the living God. That was where Adam was. So Satan's plan between Genesis 1 and 6 is to cut down man. Completely. By Genesis 6, man became flesh. And God even regretted. You don't understand. Even God, you think God does not have faith? If God can say, what did the Bible, can you take me there, please? Are you following my? And God saw the wickedness of man, that he was what? Great in the earth. And every imaginator of his thoughts was only evil was. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. So this was a, God was not faithless. This was the soul of God. That's how far. So Satan cut down man from the heaven. He was an air man. He was an heaven. He was an heavenly man to a measure. He cut him down. And made him flesh. He made him elerara. You know, people say that. Have you ever elerara niwa? Emi onse elerara, sir. I know. Me, I'm not elerara again. I'm not, and this is not a boast. I've been working with God for years. I'm not elerara. I'm not completely, I am not complete in my perfection work with God, but I'm not flesh. I know I'm not flesh. So then Satan cut man further from flesh, cutting down to grass. As at Isaiah 40, it says all flesh. You can see, they were all, that flesh there is talking about their state. Flesh was the state in Genesis 6. Grass was the state in Isaiah 40. So now all flesh now has now become grass. So that's the last degeneration. That's degradation, a further degradation of flesh. So when you cut man to flesh and grass, the living God cannot pick flesh. Neither can he even pick grass. The gap is too far. Satan knew this. Satan is an enemy that knew the designs of God. So Satan only knew God's everlasting nature. He didn't know God's Christ nature. He never knew. So that's why Christ is the wisdom of God. So God hid Christ in God. So Satan felt it was finished. Then God now brought out Christ. Meaning I have something that can pick man from grass. So that's why Christ is the first mystery of God. Not the first mystery of the kingdom. It's also called the mystery of Christ. It's a mystery. It's secret. Hold on, Tayo, Konjadi. You know, God is a God. There's a guy called Kasper of those days with chess. God is the real chess player. Just brought us. God would just laugh. Just put another move. So, God, the mystery of Christ is to take you from your flesh. Because when we're dead in sin and trespasses, Christ died for us. So it was Christ that took man from that terrible state. And I thank God for that. So Christ is the first mystery of the kingdom. All right? To turn man from flesh to become spiritual. So a spiritual man equals the earth of God. Write that down. Earth is spiritual in God. When you say earth, earth is a plane and geography for spiritual men. Can we say amen? So, which is the earnest of our inheritance? Until, so you can see, that's the process of redeeming the soul. So, name of the Holy Ghost, name of Christ, the name of the Father, is an until walk. Are we all here? Until the what? Redemption of what? Purchase possession. So this is it. Amen. You know, man is spirit, soul, and body. And so it was actually the soul that they purchased. And I'm not saying God did not pay the price for the old man. I'm only saying when you want to break it further, the spirit of man was quickened from the dead. So you can't really say, in technical, it's not as if they purchased for that spirit. No, they purchased the old man. But what they did is that they quickened his dead spirit. And that was instantaneous. Can we say amen? Amen. Then they purchased the soul. I like the word purchase. So you see, this concept was used from the slave market. Olorairu. So it means you have to pay down something. So this is at times, in that slave market at times, you can deposit for a slave. So maybe a slave is 500,000 naira. You now deposit 100,000 naira. So the owner of that slave will reckon that you are coming back to balance. All right? So they purchased the soul. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So it means the process of redeeming the soul is an until. It was purchased to be fully redeemed. So when you got born again, your soul was not fully redeemed. Your soul was purchased to be redeemed. I don't know if I'm making any sense. What did I say? Oh, you're not answering me. Let's say that one more time. All these new creation, they don't read all these areas. They just jump and say, I am this. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. That I am redeemed is they are talking about their spirit. In fact, your body is not redeemed. In actual sense of redemption. Am I right, sir? Our body, see, that's why at times we still fall sick. A redeemed body, it will not fall sick, sir. It will not be tired. It will not be tired. A redeemed body will not be tired, sir. A doctor does not need to see the redeemed body. Redeemed body is higher than the understanding of medicine. I'm sorry, I know I have my learned colleagues in the house. I respect you, sirs. I know you people, you read. My wife is still reading. I met her reading, she's still reading. So I appreciate doctors. I don't play down. They're only saying that medicine is the study of a falling body. It's falling body. It's body that has fallen. A falling body. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. So, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if your body is redeemed, that body will not fall sick, sir. It will not obey the laws of sin and death. It will even stop aging. I doubt if Adam will be aging. I doubt it. I don't know all things yet. Yes, I doubt Adam will not have been aging. So maybe as he was, if he was a man of 33, he would be like that. Can we say amen? Amen? You know, it is. You know, we never saw Moses.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever see Moses?
No.
But you know, the way, Pastor, the way Bible describes is not the way my book of Bible story describes. Sir, my book of Bible story painted a man that is old and used walking stick. Moses. Kill of every walking stick, is she? Somebody that they said that his natural forces was not abated. He doesn't need walking stick. It means that at 120, Moses was walking straight. He didn't need glasses. It means when you look at Moses, Moses may fit maybe a man, at most, maybe a man of 40 years old. That's how Moses was looking. A man of 40 today, or 35 years old. Climbing mountain. You know what it means to climb mountains? You now paint an old man. You can see that thing is a sense of death. Somebody old man using walking stick. That's not Moses. So, can we say amen? I'm just showing you the process. So there's an until. The soul has to be saved progressively until the soul enters into the name of the Father. So you see, the name of the Father is the climax of everlasting redemption. Write that down. Everlasting redemption. That's the name of the Father. So everlasting redemption is the description of the glorious inheritance. Remember, it says, when you are sealed with the name of the Holy Spirit of promise, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So that our inheritance in the actuality is the name of the Father. So like I said, the name of Christ is hidden in the Father. You can't come into the Father without Christ. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So to come into the actual inheritance is to come into full redemption. I'm going gradually going to Songs of Solomon right now. So come into the name of the Father. So come into full redemption. So the Father's name is the state of the glorious nature or the glorious inheritance. It's the state. So you didn't have the Father's name when you got born again. It was a name promised to you. Even Christ's name was promised. Is a promise. And this is the issue. So, When you get born again, even the name of the Holy Ghost, we don't have it yet. Even though you have Holy Ghost. Now, listen. You have Holy Ghost in you. But you don't have the inheritance of the Holy Ghost. What did I say? Meaning that though you have the Holy Ghost in your spirit, you don't have the nature of the Holy Ghost fully installed in your soul. You don't have it. So you can't say that you are ghosted in the sense of having the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you say you have a name, it means that you have it as life or nature. So you don't have the nature of the Holy Ghost yet. So then I have to teach you to have that name. They will teach you the syllabus of salvation at the level of the Holy Ghost. That's why all of the teachings are salvation curriculum. Are we all here? And that's why you can't be teaching anything. You must understand what to teach. All of the teaching are salvation curriculum. Then the name of, so here, the name of Christ and the Father are promises of nature for the soul. And the name of the Father, like I said, is the full inheritance described in 1 Peter chapter 4. Can we go there? Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I think God is granting me grace to teach. All right, let's just take it a step after the other. I need to carry many people along. No. Yes. Verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto what? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. To an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and what? So this is the nature of the Father, or the name of the Father. So the name of the Father is divided into three seasons of journey. I will show you that as we continue. Maybe not today, I may not get there, but this is how you come into the Father's inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. All are incorruptible, but they are in seasons of incorruptibility. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you. Say amen.
Amen.
So there is salvation by incorruptible seed. And there is salvation by the testimony. It's different. Word and testimony is the part of saving the soul. So incorruptible, undefiled, unfading is the complete state of inheriting the Father's name. All right? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, you can't. You're not saying amen with me.
Amen.
Reserved in heaven for you. So your inheritance is a nature reserved in heaven. It's not heaven. There's no place in Bible where they said heaven is the inheritance of a Christian. There's no place. You can put it to me. If you're a good student of scripture, there's no place in the Bible. They say it's reserved. They didn't say it's heaven. Hallelujah. My daughter was singing one song about, it's a good song about, I will go to heaven. I said, you should not sing that song again. I said, you will go to heaven, is that, but heaven is not your inheritance. As long as your spirit is raised from the dead, you will make heaven. Can we say amen?
Amen.
The thief that got born again, last. Oh, well, heaven, sir. So, but you enter heaven and you find out that you didn't know the Lord. So it's a different thing. The real heaven is a person. What did I say? So you can enter heaven and not know heaven. And somebody can be on earth and it's more heavenly than you. Oh, say, Pastor, what are you saying? Heresy is not heresy. Somebody can be on earth and it's growing more. Because currently in heaven, this is it. Because heaven, the present heaven is still part of the present creation. So what they are doing now, they can't administer some things yet until the world to come. So of course, they will be free from the limitation of sin nature, the limitation of sin nature and the body. But their infirmities and their ignorance will still be there, because it takes administering the activity of eternal life. First, from everlasting life, which is the tree, the leaf of the tree. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me stand up a little. So the leaf of the tree is a doctrine that they reserve for the world to come. So they can't give you that leaf, which is for the healing of nations, until Revelation chapter 21. So some people will not be upgraded until the world to come, even though they are in heaven. They are just waiting. So when you are in the body, it's actually a sign of mercy. It means you can still grow. You can still grow, yes. I'm not sure. I may be wrong. I can come tomorrow. But I don't think you can be growing in the present heaven in the sense of developing more stature. I doubt it. So you are just waiting, but you are not limited by the forces that hold the body here. That does not mean you know God. That does not mean you know. In Joyner's book, in Final Quest, some people they were not near the throne. They could not even sit on the throne. Some could not even see the throne. It was far from them. So that you are in heaven does not mean you are near God's throne. So when you are in heaven as a planet, because heaven is a planet, all right, divided into several zones, all right, heaven is, don't see heaven as a hall. It's not a hall. One very big hall. And there's one table that is big from here to here. Everybody is now sitting down and eating food. That's not how. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. My book of Bible story has done things to us. So heaven is a planet like the earth. What did I say heaven is? So the difference first is that God used different materials to make heaven and earth. So the earth was made by everlasting properties, but they are earthly. Well, God also used everlasting life. Lose everlastingness in him. I will not say it's everlasting life. God used a lower version of created life to create the heaven. So heaven is made by spirits. God used spirits to craft heaven. So heaven is a planet like the earth. It has its water. It has its trees. It has its animals. It's not just horses they will have. I'm sure they have other things that we don't know. It has its animals. It has its own world. It has. So heaven is a planet. There are places in heaven, just like here on earth. There's forests. There are several places. The heavens too are like that. So it's a topography. It's a geography of living. So, and then it is now divided into three regions. So just like on the earth, we have many continents. So the heavens has continents.
Yes,
so there's a continent of seraphs. Or a world of seraph. Now, I can tell you now, they are primarily broken into three. But inside one, just like in Africa, there are many states. That's how it is. So in the world of principalities, powers, might, and dominion, they are in one continent of heaven, but they are in different countries. So principalities is a country. So by the time you now begin to study principalities, you find out that they have differences.
Yes, sir. Kinds of
they have kinds of principalities.
Yes, sir.
You know the way the mighty man does when they talk about Africa. They talk Africa. Are you going to Africa? I'm not from Africa. I'm from Nigeria. So you get. They see all of you as the same. Oh, why are you going? When are you going back to Africa? I'm not going back to Africa. I'm going back to Nigeria. As a matter of fact, I'm going to Ibadan. But they don't relate with that. So that's why I'm showing you that. So the world of principle, that's the what you call the first heaven in ascension. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's an heaven of four classes of spirits. And each class of spirits is like a world on its own. Principalities, powers, rulers, might and dominion. So each of them have their own variations. So heaven is far bigger than the earth. Far, far, far. So it's not an hall. I think I've explained more. It's a world. Yes. So you now see. So you move. So that's just one. First heaven. So the first heaven is like a continent of many states. Then you now move into the second heaven. It's the continent of seraphs. I'm using continent. So you see how vast it is. Then inside, you think all seraphims are the same? I doubt it. They're all seraphs. You know, there's a time the Lord taught me this thing. I think I've shared it before. Now, you know that you have borderline seraphs. And then you have borderline seraphs, both at the level of moving from the first heaven to the second heaven. Then moving from the second heaven to the third heaven. You have borderline. When you say, when you are at the borderline, you are a mixture of two. You have some properties of, just like when you are crossing from Ondo to Edo. When you stay at that borderline, you can speak Edo, you can speak Edo. You can speak Ondo and Edo. Akuku Edo, there are people like that. You know that Yoruba enter into Togo. Oh, Togo. They have in between. So they are borderline. So you have also, you will have borderline seraphs. So in the seraphic company, there will be some seraphs that are, I perceive the highest class of seraphs will be closer to cherubs. They will look like them somehow, but not fully cherubs. They will not be cherubs, but they will be. So it's like that. So different kinds of seraphims. They are called the host of God. They are plenty. And there are different kinds. Different kinds. Yes, I don't think God has allowed us. So some things about the present heaven that God is still keeping. I'm telling you, God. There are vast seraphims. Different kind of sons of fire. How are you? Now, you know what I'm using? I'm using a light. To teach what I'm teaching. Hallelujah. All right. Who is interpreting? Okay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Provena halikrostevan, provene castevania, provene paragatesi, provene tessia. Oh, even these things are not things that are esoteric. Even these things are not things that should be far from your thoughts. Even these things are not things that should be far from your understanding. Even these things are things that you should be able to even play with. Because even there is much, 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 much understanding higher, even higher than even this heavens that is being opened unto you. Because there's even a heaven inside of me. There is a world inside of me that I even want you to come to comprehend. Even I want you to comprehend. For there's even that which was from the beginning. Even that which was kept even from the beginning. Even that which which was kept from the beginning. It's an ancient world. It's an ancient civilization. It's an ancient knowledge. It's an ancient wisdom. Oh, it's an ancient. It's an ancient. It's an ancient world. Oh, it's a world. It's a world of civilizations of light. Even light of the beginning. Even light that is even higher. Even than the good light that was used to make the earth. Even higher than even the light that was used to make the present heaven. It's a true light that should light every man that comes into that world. Oh, for there is a need for transition from your world, even into that ancient world, where the true light now appears. Where the true light now appear. But you would have to go through even these seasons. You have to go through even these learnings. You have to go through even the understanding of the present for you to come into the understanding of that which is true. So I want you to even come into that state of mind. Even come into that state of mind where these things are not far from you. Even where these things are not far from you. Even where these things are not far from you. For many are already saying in their hearts, what meaneth these things? Even what means these things? Even what means these things? Yes, it means a lot. It means a lot. It means a lot for your ignorance. Even your ignorance is a bait for Satan. Your ignorance is where even Satan thrives. Even Satan thrives. So I want to open you up. I want to open you up. I want to open you up into words. Even into words. Even into words. Even into words. I want to bring you into my morning. That is where I want you to come into. Even the morning that is higher than that morning, where sons of the morning gather to sing. There's yet another morning I want to bring you into, even for to sing the song of the Lamb, saith the Lord.
Amen. So when we're extraying the world of the angelic, it's not a waste of time. Now, you cannot understand the world of the Son without the world of the angels.
Yes,
you know, the world of the angels is a shadow of that which is to come. What did I say? So at times when you extray, you say, we're not worshiping angels. You cannot understand the priesthood of the New Testament, which is an everlasting, eternal priesthood, without understanding the priesthood of the present. So those angelic world is describing the present priesthood. So you will not be able to understand the Son of God without extraying the angels. So we are not wasting time. It's an exercise. In fact, inheritances is divided the same way.
Amen.
Now, the angels, they are sons of inheritance. Their own inheritance was given to them the day they were made. So it means that as an angel, your inheritance is, your level cannot change. Meaning if you're a principality, you'll be a principality forever. Because you have a name that describes, you already have the inheritance installed in the day you were made. Are you following me? Meaning you have the name is inheritance. You have that name the day you were made. All of them, in the first heaven, there are all types of inheritance. So, can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So, all of them are types of inheritances. Names, then world of seraphs is also a type of an inheritance. And that's how they're divided. So, in the world to come, which is the true world of the Son of God, there will also be inheritances according to stratification. There will still be stratification in the world to come, believe me, based on what you inherit while you are on the earth. So if you are a spiritual man on earth, if you are a spiritual man on this part of earth, your soul became spiritual. Or your soul became fully spiritual. Now, if your soul became spiritual, you'll be of the earth of the world to come. Meaning you will not be part of the heavens of the world to come. You'll be of the earth of the world to come. In the world to come, there is no flesh. What did I say in the world to come? Because sin and death has been judged. So it's a world of earth and heaven. So if you're a spiritual man here, your name is what they will use. They will tag you. Amen. You see, your name is like, it's just like a dwelling number. So let's say in the world of spirituality, listen, range it from number 1 to 10. So if you were spiritual to 2, in the world to come, you will be at 2 level of living on the earth. So there's a place where people with 2 level of spirituality live. That's where you will be. That's your estate. Your estate will be tied to your state. Estate. So you now understand the parable of the talents. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He's talking about the estate based on their state. They traded, they acquired the state, they gave them estates. That's their dominion in the world to come. So, but if you now fully acquired the name of Christ, meaning you became a full spiritual man, receiving the name, because name, everybody say name. You can be spiritual, but you don't have name. We need to say that again. Meaning, now, in the school of the Holy Ghost, you were learning the way of the Spirit, but you did not acquire that name. So, the name is that you fully finished. Just like you went to primary school, but you didn't do primary school leaving certificates. That's how it means. You didn't do common entrance. You dropped out from primary 4. So, enter dropout from primary 4. It's not the same thing as somebody that did common entrance. So, that's how it is. So in the world of Christ also, which is the Son, if you learned, you are in the journey of being spiritual, but you never acquired the name. The name is the inheritance. And you get it at the end. So you have some measure of Christ life, but not full Christ life. So it is when you have learned Christ unto charity that they now give you the name as an inheritance. So you are now a full spiritual man. So those that are full spiritual man, they are kings of the world to come. They're kings of the earth, rather. Kings of the earth of the world to come. They are the ones that can enter the heaven of the world to come. Meaning, if you are not a king, you can't enter the city. You don't have a business with the city. Amen. This is supposed to provoke you to grow. Because you can still grow. You can grow right now. So it means in the world to come, if you are not a king of the earth, you have no business with the city. It is the kings of the earth that will bring understanding to you at other lower levels of the earth. I don't know. Am I making any sense? Yeah. So the world of the seraphs is a prototype of the real world. Can we say amen? There's a real world in God that is fire. And there's the real world in God that is glory. So cherubs also, they are a shadow of a real inheritance in God. So in God, there is power, principalities, power, mind, dominion, fire, and glory. And all of them are inheritances and names in God. Can we all say amen? I want to switch, but I want you to understand this. All right? So if you don't understand the stratification of angels, you will not appreciate salvation. Because angels have their own salvation. What did I say angels have? Now let's quickly go a little bit down to, Before I go to Hebrews, let's do Psalm 103. Then I'll go to Hebrews. Amen. God has taken the message over completely. I don't. But I love the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
So the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruled over all. So this is the everlasting kingdom of God. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. That's what? Excel. So that's where you get excellent. So these are excellent angels. They are the ones that Jesus became more better than. So these angels are the best classes of angels in the present heaven. They are angels that excel in strength. Everybody say strength. That strength is not physical strength. It's their life. Their life is an excelling life. It was one of them that fell. It was out of these angels that excel in strength, and one fell out and became twisted. So, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, and that do what? His commandments. So, they are angels that bear. If they are doing commandments, listen. Can we say amen? It means they have their word. You can't have commandments if there's no word. Look at it. That do his commandment, acting to the voice of his word. So commandments, you fetch them from word. So these angels will have both their commandments and their testament, or their testimony. The end of their testimony is their inheritance, their name. So they have both word and testament, a type of it. Because you can't have an inheritance without those two. I'm losing some people already. You can't have inheritance without word and testimony. Repeat after me. Say that again. Of course, you know, you fetch prophecy out of testimony. Aha. So, but you can, so both those two must be in place. If you have name, you are a being of both inheritance. Both, you have name, you are a being of both word and testimony. So these are cherubs. All right? So like I said, angels have their own salvation, or they have their own dominion. Then the next class, condescending from the third heaven to the second, are seraphims. So it means that this is how God will arrange men in the world to come. So, seraphims are sanctuary brethren. What do I say? Or what the Bible calls holy brethren. So, these are their type. So, when you are a Christ soul, you are a fiery soul, or you are in the sanctuary of God, you are a burning soul. So the seraphs are the holy brethren of the present heaven. They are in the sanctuary of the present heaven. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So blessed are all ye his hosts. Ye what? Ministers. So it means cherubs are witnesses. Oh, you didn't get that. That was very fast for some of us. Paul was supposed to be made both a what? Minister and a witness. So a minister, sanctuary, witness through tabernacle. So minister, sanctuary, that's the holy place. Witness, that's the most holy or the true tabernacle. So that's the full, can we say amen?
Amen.
A lot, this one said make the minister, it's not talking about you preaching. Paul was already, he's not talking about preaching, he's talking about the minister. He's talking about ministry in the sanctuary. Then that says, I'll not make you just a minister. I mean, you know that Paul actually was a minister of Christ.
Yes,
then he became a witness of God.
Yes,
he became a minister of Christ, a witness of God. So it's a pattern for building.
Yes, sir.
So when you are seraphs, you are seraphims are the shadow of holy brethren in their different holy brethren formation. The peak of holy brethren are those that are sealed with the name of Christ, which we call charity. Charity is actually a dominion you must put on. So you can be in the world of Christ and you don't have the dominion of charity. You can be in the world of learning Christ, but you have not come into the dominion of charity. So the actual dominion of Christ is in charity. So when you're in charity, you're a full Christ. They call it a bond of perfection. So it's a level of perfection. It says, above all these things. So those are things in the world of Christ. All that he was teaching in chapter 3 of Colossians are things of Christ. He said, above all these things. Now, let's look at some of those things. Now, I'm not trying to explain this. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Start from verse 5. So, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. No, this is not, this is fallen earth. This is not earth of Christ. This is earth that has been corrupted. So this is flesh. Fornication, uncleanliness. Look at that. They say mortify. So mortify is to kill it. Put it to death. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence. And covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. This idolatry, New Testament. It's not the same thing as, you know, what we call idolatry. Idolatry is in categories. It's not going to bow down to a graven image. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's to be building graven images in your soul. That's sophisticated idolatry. It's to be a lover of this world. The world is a place for idolatry and adultery. So there's idolatry that is worshiping you when your soul regards this world more than God. You're an idolater.
Yeah.
Now, three things makes you an idolater. All right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You are an idolater, sir. You are worse than Entombo Ogun. Yes. Meaning you live for yourself. All those things are self. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All right? An ambitious soul is an idolater.
Yeah.
And at times they push idolatry from pulpits.
Yes, sir.
Get it at all costs. Those kind of statements, they're idolatrous. They don't make people regard God. They don't teach if it's God's will. Idolatry has its Christian version. If it's good, it's God. There are some things that are good. It's not in God's program for your life. Believe me. It's good for everybody, but God says, for you. Can we say amen? These are very hard things to teach. There are some things that are hard sayings. Some people, God just, it pleases them. It pleases God to make you in a certain way. He said, that is how I want you.
Yeah.
Be a Nazarene.
Yes, sir.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Meanwhile, your brother can do so.
Yeah.
Your brother can do business. And he's making dollars. And then you now want to do it. They say, no. That's not my plan for you. You just be helping the ministry.
Yes, sir.
And that helping the ministry, you will live by faith. God will be the one to take care of you. Your own, the will of God for your life might be just to wait on a minister.
Yes, sir.
And becoming minister's boy. You see, if you don't know this thing, you will sin. That's where walk with God will bring you to. You know God's program for your life. Shall you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So, idolatry, we push it from pulpit.
Yes.
When we teach people not to, that's why in milk, they have to teach you leading of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You have to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Very, very important. then you have to understand. You know, Hagin wrote those books.
Yes,
Following God's Plan for Your Life. Very important thing. For your own life. It's different. So you need to know that. Now, there are things I wanted to do, but I was not permitted. But they were not bad things. Is it bad to do masters abroad?
No.
I even got admission. Two schools are giving me admission. But God says, no, that's not what I plan for you. But why then? They don't teach those things from pulpit. That's the problem I have. All this is, it's not bad to do a master's. If it's, and that's why some people, when you tell them, you know, but daddy, I want to do master's. Okay, have you prayed? Is God leading you? They think that I'm stupid. I'm not stupid, sir. Because anything God has not led you to do, there are no provisions for your covering. Satan assaults us when we do things not sanctioned by God. So when you're living outside of the boundaries of God's grace, you would, if you don't have grace, you'll be disgraced. So anything you do, there has to be God's hand in it. I will not be doing ministry today. I don't have time to explain to people why I'm doing ministry. You are not the one that called me. That's just the truth. How you view it is your business. It's your opinion. I don't care about your opinion.
Yes,
but I know God called me to do this work. And I'm answerable to God. So I'm just trying to show you that it is within the plan and scope of of God's program for your life.
Yes,
that you are protected. So many times when believers run things that is not in God's plan for their lives, they live in places that God does not. Some people think that relocation does not need leading. I just look at it's not everybody that you reason at the same level. Now, for some people, it may not matter. For some people, it may not matter because the purpose of God around their lives does not determine that kind of specific dealing. So they can leave Nigeria and go to Japan and nothing has happened. Because, you know what I'm saying? You know we are different. In our different callings. Even in our response to God. Some people can't, let me tell you this. Listen, some people may not be able to respond to God so much at this divide of time. They can't journey so much. So God can permit some things for them. They can live anyhow, in the sense of anyhow. And when you look at that person, you are not admiring that person. You are not wise. Our permissions are different. The person can do whatever they like, but for you, it's different. God has opened your eyes. You know more than that. You can't live your life the way. You wake up this morning, you just want to go anywhere. God did not permit me to live my life anyhow. There are many things I wanted to do. God blocked it. He said, that's not my plan for you. But looking back, I thank God. Imagine, my life would have scattered. Imagine, I went to marry who I wanted to marry. I can't even be where I am today. It's impossible. You know, Daddy came here, when he said it, Daddy came here, he said, he was looking at the work and how God has helped us. He said that you must have got it well in marriage. If you miss it in marriage, you can't go this far. Satan will use that person that is not the will of God to stop you. That's the first warfare you fight. Imagine I say I want to fulfill God's purpose for my life. My wife said no. I'm going to Japan. Or I'm going to Germany. Abroad. That's the end of that marriage. So at times it may be a weak soul, depending, cannot live the purpose of God and keep the marriage. I said, Pastor, what are you saying? Keep your marriage at all costs. So that's why you have to get it well in marriage. You will fall short of the purpose of God. I'm telling you. You will fall short. You have to get it right from day one. Of course, you need counseling in these things. I don't know why I'm talking this way. When you make a major step wrongly at times, it takes you will suffer some loss for God to correct it. You will suffer some very terrible loss to correct it. Can we say, I'm not saying you leave your wife. Please hear well. Don't say, I married the devil. Because I know the ways of people here. This is Okpeo. That's what I mean. God is all wise God. He can still redeem that marriage. I'm only saying in very extreme cases. You know, I know a story about a minister, you know, that was called to serve another minister in the ministry. And he paid the price of leaving. I think he was a doctor. He left medicine to serve that minister in full-time ministry. And that was his calling. Apparently, the wife did not support. So they tussled it for a long time. Man, I'm thinking that this is your husband. He's the head of the house. He said this is what God is saying to do. You are saying something else. It's already a misguided thing. So I think they stayed. They tried to redeem it. The lady refused and left. She left the marriage. He said, if you are ready to marry me, come and meet me here. Amen. You didn't marry the man. He married you. So you can't do that one. If you do that, the marriage will end, obviously. So the marriage ended. My minister said, no. This is what God has said I should do. So there's a time for reconciliation and amendment. So I'm talking about God can save bad situations. I don't know if you are getting me. So I'm just looking at the case where the party refuses to yield to God. So that's a loss. At times, and someone will not be that it's not the will of God. It may be that, you know, you can get the will of God. It might be that it's God's will, but you have to keep yielding to the will of God. So somebody can start well and say, I'm not doing it again. This God thing is too much. Me, Oshima. Maybe not very enjoy. At least Demas follow Paul for a while. And after a while, he said, Me, Oshima. This following Paul, you know, they pay person. Following Paul does not pay. So he just says he's not doing it again. And that testimony of Demas was not a good testimony because they wrote it in scripture. So I'm not sure he repented. I hope he did. So for Demas, Paul's relating with Paul was a destiny relationship.
Thank you, sir.
He must not leave that kind of relationship. In fact, you enter your inheritance like that. So there are some relationships that if you keep them, you enter inheritance. That relationship will bring you into inheritance. That's how God designed it. God can attach you to someone, and that's it. Keep following this person.
Thank you, sir.
Now say, what if that person misses it? God will attach you to another person. Yeah. God is very faithful. Yes, that will keep following God.
Yes, sir.
At least I know that in my own life. For the sake of inheritance. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Oh yeah, let's go back. Amen. We have really journeyed. I don't know, you know, at times you have to teach by the Spirit and touch issues in people's lives. All right, let me just go ahead. I perceive I should teach. I just felt the time was just saying that many have found mercy. You know, what you are hearing is actually is a mercy of God. I feel that God is helping, is redeeming some people from consequences of bad decisions. That's one. Then I feel God is also preparing some people not to take another bad decision that will shift them out of the purpose of God for their lives. So it's an operation of mercy. That's what that tongue is saying. It's mercy of God to make you hear some things, just to change your mind. You know, I was in a church. I was ready to travel. I was in a church then in Lagos, and the minister was ministering. He didn't even say anything about anything related to my. I'd made up my mind I was leaving the country then. I made up my mind I'd leave in the country. So I applied to two universities in Scotland. One had given me admission already. And I love my career. I love it. I love it. Maybe God just saw the sincerity of my heart. That I love business consulting with all of my heart. I'm not sure. Maybe I loved it more than the Lord. But, I mean, ministry was not in my plan. So, I loved it. Up to tomorrow, it's still a secondary passion for me. Really. So while I was in that church, the minister was teaching around faith. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke clearly. He said, don't leave the country. I have a plan for you. So as the Lord spoke, I just wrote it down. But it was, as I was writing it down, I was sweating. The church was fully tight, AC tight. It was a Covenant Christian Center in Yaba. Then they were much smaller before they extended, because they extended a lot. But then they were very small. It was a very AC tight church. God says, stay in Nigeria, I have a plan for you. I was sweating while I was writing it, because my soul has left Nigeria already. It was just my body that was in Nigeria. You know the very thing then I shared it with the mom, where mommy, we are not married then. That was like 2 years before our marriage. You know, she never said, well, if that's what God is saying. No fight, no sweat. In fact, it was even me that was more ambitious. She was never part of it. She said, if that's what God is saying, then let's do God's will. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So the Lord will be merciful to all of us. That was an intervention of mercy. So if I had taken that step, now I wouldn't have known then. Well, that was 2000 and, that was early 2006. That was early 2006. If I had taken that decision then, my life would have moved in that direction. Most likely.
Very true, sir.
Yes, we'll have moved in that direction. I won't be here. Number one, I won't be a minister of this world. Even if I'm a minister of a lesser world.
Yes.
Not this world of righteousness,
yes,
sir. The world of righteousness, some people are talking kingdom. It's not. Anyway, let me not go into that. But I won't be ministering at this level.
Yes, sir.
That's number one. Then I'm not sure my home will have been intact. I personally doubt it. I feel that I will have made a rascally decision somewhere. Looking back home. Then last year, I was in UK mission work last year. So I've told you the story. I went to greet my in-laws with mommy. And I had to leave to go and do a teaching somewhere in Stratford. So I took an Uber, and as I was going there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you had done that thing that I said you should not do, this your version would not have existed. You don't understand. No, let me say it again. He said, if you have gone that time, because eventually I traveled. So, but now, 2006 to 2024. How many years is that? 18 good years of waiting. I was not even waiting, I had forgotten. If you are waiting, you are still hoping that God will say you should do it. I didn't wait. The thing was already off the table. So, when the Lord spoke, the Lord says, if you had gone then, this your version wouldn't have existed. You know what? I started crying like a baby. I say, God, I didn't know. I was just crying. I was just, after a while, I started thanking God. I was the only one. It was an Uber bus. It was a very big bus. You know, it was a bus. I was the only one in the bus. It was a Benz bus. And I was crying inside that bus. It was a Pakistan that was driving me. I'm sure everybody was wondering that. What's wrong with this guy? Why is this guy like this? I was in deep. I sobbed, cleaned my hand, then I was now in thanksgiving. Say, God, thank you. Thank you. You don't know the value of obeying God. God tells you something and you now want to do something else. Is God your daddy's mate? God that knows everything. He knows every face of your life. And some of you, the way you make some decisions, like, you don't, God that is in the future, is saying something. You are now doing something based on what you see. You just shortchange yourself. You know, and some of the wrong decisions we make it because we're under pressure. There's Raskimuno sang a song, under pressure, maybe you don't know. My people are under pressure. They are willing, they are seeking every way, every time, under pressure. So you know that song. You know, I used to love reggae those days. So you make decision what? Under pressure. Satan designed, you know, Satan is the one that puts you under that pressure. He will design a curriculum that will make things tight. So all those things, they don't exist. They are actually fake. If you can understand this, this one is fake. The real pressure is for you to obey God.
Yes, sir.
Well, Satan will not paint it that way. He will show you right now that your life is in a mess if you don't make that pressure right now. So anytime you're under pressure to do something, now, ever say, now. I don't do anything now. I've learned. Now. Me will say, now. I will wait. I will pray. Satan will do, no. It is as it is hot. The Bible says, he that believeth does not. We are not of them. We are of them who through faith and the promise. So I can give you many scriptures that does not support quick decision. Now! Some people, Satan is already dangling carrots before them. Some of you, listen, I've even made some decisions. You have gone. Pastor does not know. Pastors does not know. Amen. If I were you, I would just turn back. There are decisions I've made like that in my life. I've done them already before God spoke. And when God spoke, I went to undo them. I won't lie to you. I can't tell you some. I went to undo it. I'm not me to continue more. I told you now. I had paid for ACCA lesson. I had paid for it. I was just about buying the form. And the money then, it was a lot of money then. I paid for ACCA lesson to start ACCA. Because as at then, everybody, every reasonable person then was a banker. So I want to get angry. Let me be a banker for a while. At least to cover this shame. I remember that time when we wanted to marry, when my wife was distributing our IVF, say, is your husband a banker? You know, she's a doctor. If you're not marrying doctor, then marry banker. And I was not banking in anything. I was only a banker of the revelation of Jesus. So I tried working in a bank. Amen. I tried working in a bank. So, number one, I had tutu, so I could not even get into some bank. And my tutu was not even strong tutu, but I managed to get tutu. So there are some banks I wanted to work. I could not even, all those Zenith Bank, GT Bank, I could not. So it was Diamond Bank that collected people like us. So I went to do interview. I remember when I went to do that Diamond Bank interview. I read. I collected GMAT, all those things. I read. And I went to do it. I did it. So when I finished, as I was leaving the place, it was as if the Holy Ghost was just laughing. You understand? You know, but the parish me by sin, you know, wakwe me. So when I was leaving that place, I see somebody was just laughing at me. I just ignored it. I said, this one is the devil. So I now went home. But I noticed that day, I was feeling somehow. I was feeling sorrowful, like I've already that something bad will happen. You understand? Throughout that, there was no okay. Because they said that they would let us know the results the other day. So I was shouting that day in the morning. I prayed. I said, Father, I thank you for your mercy. I shall pray. But I knew. So all of a sudden, I just end one. It was a text that they sent in my phone. So I opened the phone. I just saw from Diamond back. I did open it. I knew that I didn't pass. But I was just, I said, God, is it that you don't want me to have good things of life? So when I opened it, I said, we are sorry to announce to you. Then after then, I said, okay, Obajeni. So I went to now collect. I wanted to go. I wanted to do ACCA because I think that okay, that will give me an opportunity to get. I mean, I boost myself up. My I had plans. I had a lot of plans here and there. So I got a lesson. Then I went to pay for the money for the tutorials. So I was about paying. So when I paid for the money, then I remember it was Intercontinental Bank. Then I dropped the money. Once I just felt a sharp pain. And I felt sad. So I was supposed to go and pay for the form. So then I said, okay, let me start the lesson. And after a while, I'll gather the money and go and buy the form. So when I felt that, I knew something was wrong. So for about a week, I felt so dry. It was a very terrible sense of dryness. So I went to Nang then. Then I went to greet Pastor Ernest in his office. Then he was still walking on Lowell Street. His business. So I said, Egbon, I'm feeling this way. He laughed. He's a prophet now. He laughed. He said, man of God, do the will of God. He said, that thing is not the will of God. And I spoke. He said, that's not God's plan for me. That day, I stopped going for classes. I think I went to attend one class. So after that experience with NS4, that was the end of lectures. You know, Elomi actually continued and lowo me. That so she lowo is the conviction. You don't know. You know, let me use my money. Let me use my money. I can't waste my money. Yeah, you understand? So that was a loss. I lost money. But I rather prefer to obey God. So when you hear me now, you have made some mistake. Go and retrace your mistake, no matter the loss. It's better to obey God than continue in rebellion. May the Lord grant you understanding. Let me go back to my message. I just had to do this. I don't know. It's still part of the message, but I have to digress. Because some people, I feel, are in that valley. You're in valley of decision. You know what I'm doing now is prophetic. Yeah, I know at times when you call people out, this is not a word of knowledge, this is a teaching of understanding. So I feel it's more than one people. It's more than one person that is in this. You can't be less than five. That they have either made a wrong decision about making one. So God just wants to give you understanding to retrace your step back. So let's go to Psalm 13. Uh-huh. So can we say amen? So I'm showing you the angelic as a foreshadow to inheriting the real that is in God. So bless the Lord, huh? All his hosts, ye ministers of ease. So a minister is a servant in the sanctuary, all right, that do his pleasure. So like I said, from Paul was both a minister and a witness. So Paul ministered Christ. In fact, before Paul started ministering Christ, he had the measure of revelation of Christ in him. So Paul started ministry of Christ, not just as a preacher of Christ. He started as a minister of Christ. By minister, it means that he had a measure of work inside him. That's what he was referring to in Galatians chapter 2, when it says, it pleased that the Son was revealed in me. That's not an ordinary thing. So you are a minister in the sanctuary. You are a witness in the true tabernacle. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now take me to Hebrews chapter 1. God, what sundry times and diverse manners in time past spake unto in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by what? His Son. So you can see two dispensations. All right? Last days or sundry times. So that sundry time was the dealing of God with different men under another dispensation before the Son of God came. And God is always engaging fathers. Can we say amen? So it says, but in these last days, as he spoke to us by his Son, or in his Son, all right, whom he had appointed the heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. I don't want to dwell here. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So that's who the Son of God is the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person. Brightness of his glory, express image of his person, and upholding all things with the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4, being what? Made so much better than who? The angels. So much better. So that's like a comparison between the Son of God and sons of the present. I use the sons of the present because sons of the morning are part of the sons of the present. Okay? But you have sons of the present. So angels are the sons of the present. Jesus Christ is the first of the sons that are to come. Yes, it's the first of that order. So being made so much better than the angels. So they had to compare him with the angels because the angels are the owners of the present dispensation. It is those that occupy heavens that own the dispensation. So in any dispensation, heaven is always higher than the earth. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. What did I say? So angels are the custodian of the present dispensation, which is made of the present heaven and the earth. So the earth has fallen into the claws of sin and death. The heavens currently are still preserved, but it is still aging. Because when God made the heavens and the earth, Lord made it by materials that can perish. So the present heaven and earth is perishable. Meaning, even though it is from God, it is not born of God. If it's born of God, it will remain. There is an heaven and a earth that is in God. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say?
Amen.
That is the one that will be eternal. So there is an eternal heaven and earth. What we see in Revelation 21 and 2 is the rolling in of an eternal earth and an eternal heaven, which is in God.
Hallelujah.
All right? And it is supposed to be the home of sons of God, or the dwelling of sons of God. So sons of God will dwell on the earth and in heaven. What did I say sons of God will dwell in? So you can see Revelations, thank you, it says, and I saw a new what? Heaven and a new earth. It's not just talking about it in terms of new. This new heaven and earth is the heaven and earth in God that is eternal. This new heaven and earth will not pass away. If it can pass away, it is not born of God. Meaning it's not born of God's DNA, but it can be from God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So he says, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So it means it was not, they are not passing away because not just because of sin. They are passing away because they are not made of substances that are enduring. So it is everlasting. The present heaven and earth is everlasting, but they are not incorruptible. Can we say amen? It's last, just like angels are everlasting. Angels are from a dimension of everlasting, but they are not incorruptible. Because there's an everlasting life that is older than creation. So creation life is everlasting. But it is not incorruptible. Meaning it's still subject to death, subject to perishing. In fact, it's not even immune from sin. Because death is higher than sin. So it can still be corrupted by both sin and death. That's the present constitution of heaven and the earth. Are you following me? Can we say amen? So angels are the custodian of the present. Meaning they have their own kingdom. Come on, what did I say they have? Now, Pastor C.G., if they have their own kingdom, it means they have their own salvation. A lot of people talk kingdom, they don't talk salvation. Salvation. Salvation of God is not because of sin. God is salvation. That's the name of God. One of the names of God is salvation. Salvation to our God. So God is salvation even when he's not saving from sin. That's his name. God is saved. That's what it means. What did I say God is? God is saved from anything, everything. God is saved, meaning that the life that is in God cannot be subject to the forces of decay. That is what salvation means. God is salvation, meaning his life is saved. So there is a kind of salvation in God that, can we say amen? That we are called to partake of. So the new birth is the beginning. There is a new birth. That's the beginning of salvation. But it is not the salvation in God. You have to partake of that salvation. It is a calling. Can we say amen? That is what New Testament should give, the salvation of God. Yes, God's salvation. So this is my point. Angels have their own kind of salvation. So you measure the strength of a kingdom, all right, by how that kingdom is saved from the forces of perishing. Let me say that again. You measure the strength of a kingdom by how that kingdom is saved from perishing. So we don't really have kingdoms on the earth. They are any kingdom that can be corruptible is not really a kingdom. Well, it's a dominion, but it's a dominion that can pass away. And God's dominion does not pass away. Can we say amen? His kingdom shall know no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall know no end. Because it's made by the characteristics of God's life. So take me back to that Hebrews. So, look at that. He says, so Jesus being so much better than the angels. So if Jesus is so much better than the angels, it means Jesus is better than the best of all angels. Which is, now let's go back to Psalm 103. All right? Let's go back to Psalm 103. So Psalm 103 shows us the first class of angels that occupy the first heaven. They are cherubs. They call them sons of glory or sons of the morning. They are in their different categories. It says, look at it. Bless the Lord, all ye his angels. So, amen. So there are some angels that are more angelic than others. So the actual angels here are cherubs. Because they are the owner. They are, you know, can we say amen? The cherubs are the princes of the present. They are the princes. So out of the princes, you now have chief princes. So not all of them are chief. You see, you can know them by their... You know, you have some angels that their girdle is at their abdominal region, loins. Then you know some angels that their girdle has their breasts. They call them paps. So some angels are more glorious than others. Can we say amen? Amen. So chief princes, I believe they are the ones that have the angels. They have their girdle on their paps. Can we say amen? Amen. Those are the category of angels in Revelation 15 that open the vials, bowls of wrath. Can we say amen? Amen? So I'm showing you now, out of the world of cherubs, you have different kinds. So I'm saying that angels, there are some angels that are more angels than the others. Seraphs are called ministers, but they are angels. But they are not of the stature of cherubs. Principalities, powers, might, and dominion are angels. So, but when you say angel, they are pure spirits. So some are more spirits than others. So a spirit of glory is more spirit than a spirit of fire. They are just showing you. You see, why God created angels was to show us journey to salvation. Yes. Angels by nature are just witnessing. And thank God that they know. They are very humble. I believe that one of the things that may have caused the rebellion of Ahiel was he wanted more than what he was designed for. He wanted to be more than what God made him. He said, why are you saying, you know? Someone says, was not content. You will see that in Isaiah 14. Even though this is after he fell, but it's still the corruption that brought him down. He wanted to be like what is not called or designed to be. I'm sure. Because that, you know, angels are actually chief princes, are high beings of the present. Then God chose to leave the heavens and cut covenant with man. They'll just be wondering, why does God love man this way? I mean, why this man? You leave the heavens and you go to the earth. Because the earth is lower than the heaven. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand Psalm 8. They said, when the Bible says thou made him a little lower than the angels, it is right. Some people say the real translation is God. No. Adam was lower. The world of man was lower than the world of angels. But God is still full of this man. And he has decided to cut covenant with man. So he's only man that has access to the life of God. Angels don't have the life of God in them. But they have life, but not God's life. So meaning that if you're an angel, if you are made a seraph, you are seraph forever. If you are made a cherub, you are cherub forever. So you cannot transit. You can't change your state. Meaning you can't change your estate. Your state is equals your estate. But for man, he can change his estate by changing his state. So that's why the living soul man did not have all of God when he was made a living soul. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And he have everything of God. He was supposed to grow into inheriting all of God so that he will now partake of the tree of life. The tree of life was a promise to him. I've heard all kinds of teachings myself, and I taught some things before. Some people have said that Adam ate from the tree of life. He never ate of that tree. It was the tree was still before him. It was a promise. You cannot eat of the tree of life and sin. There will not have been redemption from sin. See, so when we are looking at Bible, you have to look at Bible, wait on Bible. Now when Adam, now, because you see, if it was about the tree of life, Satan would have tempted him to eat the tree of life first. Are you with me? So we have tree of it's not that. Satan knew what he was doing. Satan wanted God to destroy man. So the first thing he did was to stain him by for him partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So once man did that, man became corrupted. Can we say amen? That's why God quickly stepped in. That activity in Genesis 3 was a quick intervention to protect man from sin traveling further. Sin didn't travel further. Too much for Adam. They quickly protected him. Can we say amen? If not, it would have been unredeemable. Now, after he heard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan now told him, next temptation, eat of the tree of life. So, it means that the tree of life is a tree of permanency. Is this clear? It's a ceiling tree. So, amen. So, it means eternal life is a ceiling life. So, you can't say you are eating eternal life before. No. See, amen. Hallelujah. I say, oh, but they're just teaching. It's not like that. Please, let's go into the Bible again. You can't have eternal life and it's a promise. It's not possible. Adam did not have eternal life. He said, now this is not the creation of Adam. We are not the new creation. And so, even the new creation what I mean the new creation, what Jesus brought was a reconstruction of what Adam fell from. It's just a replacement. Well, it's a replacement thing. Can we say amen? So even when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't have eternal life. Jesus grew into eternal life. Jesus did not have eternal life. You can't have eternal life and you are not on the throne. You can't have eternal life and you are not a tronic being, completely tronic being. So even Jesus did not have it. He grew into it. If not, why will you be praying for it? It means what he did was to do the work to call it. In John 17. We need to understand this thing. No, but that does not matter. So, no. When you got born again, you had life, not eternal. He said, so what do you mean by that? There are life measures in God. If Adam could have living soul life, the day he was made, it means there is life in God at several degrees. There's a life in God called living life. There's a life in God called true life. There's a life in God called eternal life. There's a life in God called Christ life. All in God. He said, why are you saying this? It's not difficult to understand from the way God created angels. Creation is in classification. Angelic life in classification. Human life is in classification. Animal life is what I want to say. Animal life is in classification. So God life too, they are in different strata. So eternal life is the promise of all life. Let's say an amen.
Amen.
That's so beautifully said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God chose to cut covenant with man. He left the world of angels and decided to give man his own life. So I don't know. I'm just making an assumption. I'm not saying this doctrine, but Satan now wanted to be like God. You can't be like God, sir. They were not permitted. You see, for every salvation, there are boundaries. So even for Adam, God told him, sir, ma genu igiele, abi esuele. In the day you do it, you shall want. So it means that there is an order.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
There are boundaries or there are commandments. That's the word. There are commandments that is tied to every salvation. What did I say? So cherubs are akin to commandments. So when Satan broke the commandments, he became an enemy of the life of cherubs. So he became anti-cherubic. So now, so this is the point. So Jesus became so much better than... Now, okay, look at this angel. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels. Take me back there. Amen. I just need some time just to let this thing sink in. Are we being blessed?
Yes,
it's the Lord that... I wanted to go to my Songs of Solomon this morning. They didn't allow me to go again. Sharing, come by. All right, it's God that's just say, move in this way. All right, so bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Look at that. Excel in strength. That do what? His commandments are clean to the voice of his word. So Jesus became so much better than this class of angels because they are the highest classes of angels. So every angel, these are the superior of the angelic beings, and they hold a name. Their natural inheritance. They hold the highest name of the heavens. What did I say they hold? So even their names are their inheritance. So when you hear them, all of them have names. All right? Michael. One that is like God. So he has his inheritance already inside him. Gabriel, strength of God, man of God. He has his, they are all heel boys. They call them sons of the morning. So it means in the morning are names. The morning are the names of God. They are sons of the morning. So in that morning, there are different dimensions in the morning that you have sons that bear witness. So it means cherubs are witnesses. They are witness of names in God, showing you what God wants to make you become at the end of the most holy journey. The journey of the most holy shall produce witnesses of the name of God. So that's why the angels exist. They just exist as a shadow of the real. So Jesus became so much better than they. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Are you tired? Ah, this is a good church. Can we say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, being so much better, look at that, than the angels. So, Psalm 103 says, these angels, they excel in strength. They are excellent angels. Look at that. Excellent. He says, he had by what? He had by how? So, you, Pastor Friday, you can't have inheritance without obedience. Your inheritance is at the end of obedience. So when you say somebody has inheritance, he has more than word. He has testimony. Take me to Isaiah 8, verse 16. An inheritance is more than word. An inheritance is word and testimony. When I mean testimony, the climax of testimony is that you become a prophet. So you can have a life that you have not served. So, when you have testimony, you have life. When you obey that life, you become a prophet. So, you see, angels don't just have word and testimony. They are prophets. Cherubs are prophets. So, their obedience, amen, is their sacrifice. What did I say their obedience is? They are prophets of a name. They are prophets of the name of God. Or meaning they are witnesses of a name. So, no, thank you. Bind up the testimony. Look at that. Bind up the testimony. And what? Seal the law among what? My disciples. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Can we say amen? I can't hear you. Say amen. So, they teach testimony to those that have law. So when you say they seal the law, everybody says sealing the law. Sealing the law is having covenant. Covenant is different from testimony. So it means that to a disciple of Christ, the first thing that will reveal to you is the law of everlasting life. which is the word of God. Amen. Now, let me go back again. I'm losing some people. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So look at that. So a disciple of Christ, a disciple of Christ, meaning you already have the name of Christ. If you're a disciple of Christ, you have a name of Christ. So the first thing I'll do is to unveil the law of God. The law of God is also called the word of God. What did I say the law of God is? Come on, say it again. It's the word of God. The word of God is also God's light. So can we say amen? So when you obey the law, you see, you have to cut covenant with the law. So when you cut covenant with the law, you come into covenant. So the seal is actually the covenant, meaning you have agreed with that law. So I can give you a law that you don't agree with. So it means you can't cut covenant with it. Can we say amen? So it's first covenant, then testimony. So it is those that have covenants that they teach testimony to. Testimony is a teaching that you teach people that have the covenant already, meaning they have the law. But they don't just have the law. They have add the law to they have covenant. Amen. Psalm 132, amen. Some people, when you start moving to some areas, they shut down. Amen. You can't shut down. You will not grow. It just remain at one level. You think all this is waste of time? Thank you. So if the children will keep my covenant, so you keep covenant first. Now, how do you keep covenant? It means that you have done the law to have covenant. So you must. So to keep covenant is to keep the first walk. Write that down. So that means you have the first walk. You have to first keep the first walk. To keep first walk means you must, they have done the first walk. Then and I say keep that walk. The first walk is covenant. All right? Then it is those that have covenant, they will now teach testimony to. So if thy children keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall what? So it's an understanding. It's an understanding to have covenants. That's the first walk. So you can say that's the walk of the living God. So the walk of the living God is actually concluded in covenant. Even so, it means that the walk of the living God, listen to this, is sealed by covenant. It means when you are sealed by covenant, then you will have entered into blood. So they seal the walk, the first walk. You have entered into the region of blood, which is where you have covenant and testimony. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
These things are mysteries. Can we say amen? So it says, then my testimony that I shall teach them. So the testimony is the activity of the second walk. Can we say amen?
Amen.
What is the testimony? It's the... So the covenant there, the law is to build the house. The testimony is to give life to that house. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So they are all understandings. So it is the testimony children that can sit on the throne. Look at that. It says, my covenant and testimony that shall I teach them. They said, thy children also. So they fed children from testimony. Those that are learning testimony, which is the next season of understanding. Out of them, they now fetch those that will sit on the throne. Now, you cannot sit on the throne except you have the book of prophecy. So it means that testimony must climax in what?
Prophecy.
In book of prophecy. What did I say testimony must climax in? I'm not hearing response. So, meaning that you will do testimony. This, you will obey life until you begin to speak. Now, what does it mean to speak? To begin to bear witness. In the realm of the spirit, that's how you speak. You witness. So a witness is a prophet. So angels in the third heaven are prophets. They witness to names of God. So you cannot have inheritance if you're not a prophet. They have more than testimony. They have prophecy. They have more than testimony. So You can see all those angels. They are all prophets of a life. What did I say they are? They are prophesying a life. So somebody that is called Michael is prophesying something. He's a prophet. In fact, no wonder that at times when those angels are speaking, you would think it's God. I am Alpha. I'm Omega. They have been taken over completely. They are witnesses already. When you meet them, you meet a name, a dimension in God. So that is what God wants to do in sons. So when you see the son, you have seen God. You don't see a prototype of God. You have seen God. That's what the son is. The son is the brightness of his glory. Are you with me? The express image of his person. So everything the son is what God is. So the son of God is a witness of the name and inheritance of the father. Hallelujah. Oh, you can say amen.
Amen.
Now, take me back to Hebrews chapter 1. All right? Let's go back to Hebrews. So, verse 4. So, being so much better than the angels, he had by inheritance, that's what I'm saying, obtained a more what? Than they. So, meaning they have an excellent name. All those angels. So, all those cherubs, they are excellent boys. Excellent boys. He by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than who? They. So meaning that salvation is to carry name. I'm going somewhere. What I say salvation is? So their name is their salvation. Because salvation is an inheritance. Thank you. So that's why, Pastor CG, if you don't understand the word of the angels, you can't understand salvation that Jesus wants to give. You can't understand it. Shall you understand what I'm saying? You now see that we are going through the angelic. That's why Paul used it that way. Being made so much better than the angels. So the angels had their salvation as their inheritance. He had by inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name than they. Can we say amen? Now let's look at the verse 5. Are you with me? So, to which of the angels did he say at any time, thou art what? Son. So, angels are sons, but not my son. They are not sons of my essence. But they are sons of the morning. But they are not sons of inheritance, of God's nature. Eh? He says, this day have I what? And I'll be a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings him forth the firstborn into the world, he said, let all angels of God worship him. He's talking about the first begotten of the dead. That's Jesus, the faithful witness. And the first begotten of the dead. He said, all angels worship him. Why? He is more glorious than they.
Yes, sir.
So of now let's just read them because I'm going to chapter 2. Amen. That's why. Are you with me?
Yes,
no, go back to verse 7. Sometimes your love for God is mentioned by how you can endure doctrine. Believe me. It's part of it. So, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and these ministers a flame of fire? So, these angels are angels in the sanctuary and the true tabernacle of God. But unto the Son, he said, listen. So, why is he comparing angels and Son? So, it means that angels have their own kingdom. The Son of God has his own kingdom. What did I say? So the kingdom of angels is a shadow of the kingdom of the Son, which is the kingdom of the world to come. Have I established that? So if angels have their own kingdom, it means angels have their own salvation. So as it is, going up from the world of the angels, from the third to the first, You are more saved as you ascend. Tosi, eh? What did I say? So cherubs are more saved than seraphs. Seraphs are more saved. So the closer you are to God, the more saved you are as an angel. It's just a type showing to us our journey of ascension. So unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. Look at that. The scepter of thy what? Of righteousness is the... So meaning the kingdom of God is a measurement of righteousness. The kingdom of God, you measure kingdom of God from righteousness to righteousness. John 14 verse 17, Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and what? So the kingdom of God is the measurement of stratus of righteousness. Peter, talking about the world to come, he says, we, according to his promise, look for what? A new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth what? So it means the heaven and earth of the world to come is made up of righteousness at different levels of righteousness. So kingdom of God is the revelation of righteousness. Amen. Revelation of righteousness. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. Scepter of thy righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. Verse 9. For thou hast loved what? Righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has what? With the oil of gladness above what? Thy fellows. Some other time we'll get here. Amen. Now, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid what? In the beginning. So this is the beginning of creation. So God laid foundation of the earth and the heavens. So God created the heavens. So this beginning is the beginning before creation. There are different kind of beginnings in Bible, honestly. We don't have time to begin to highlight them. But thou in the beginning, this is not in the world of eternal life. Creation is lower than the eternal God. In fact, creation is lower than the everlasting God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, look at that. So thou, Lord, in the beginning, he's talking about creation. In the beginning, before creation. This is earlier than creation. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God laid foundation of the earth and the heavens. Can we say amen?
Amen.
He said, the heavens are the work of thy hands. He says, they shall perish. So now, why are they perishing? There's no sin here. They are not perishing because of sin. Listen. They shall. He's talking about the future of the present.
Yes,
they shall perish. So creation, even though was done within an everlasting domain, they can still perish because it was not done from the substances of God's essence. So you now understand when you just say heaven and earth shall pass away. He wasn't talking about it. He was talking about it in the original sense of the fact that he did not have the present heaven and earth was not made of the essence of God's nature. He was not born of God's DNA. So anything not born of God's DNA is doomed to pass away. Regardless, yes, it will pass away. He says, they shall perish. That's the word. So you are not saved if you are not saved from perishing. So salvation is a life higher than perishing. Oh, you didn't get that. Salvation is a life higher than the tendency to perish. Is what salvation arms you from.
Yes.
So when you are fully harmed, you can't perish. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
You can't perish, sir. So they shall perish, but thou remainest. Now, why does he remain? Why does he remain? It's because of what he has as nature. And that is what he wants to give you as a promise. So the promise of God to man is what makes God remain. So thou remainest, but thou remainest, and they, but thou remainest, meaning they perish or you remain. He said, they shall wax old as a garment. And as a vesture, look at that. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And as a vesture, thou shalt what? Fold them up. And they shall be changed, meaning they can mutate. Mutation means something can is subject to change. Right? But thou art the same. See, I want you to focus on this. So what makes God the same and that he remainest is a name that God has. Is a name. God has a name that is incorruptible. God has a name that is eternal. Incorruptible is everlasting. Eternal. Eh? It's his name. That's actually his original name. The raw name of God is eternal name. Eternal life is the life in God. That life is not subjected to anything. That's why God is the same. Billions of years is the same. Not just same in his frame, same in his state. That nature of life is a precise nature. That nature cannot vary. It cannot turn. It cannot change. But every other thing can change. But you are unchangeable. That's what they call the unchangeable changer. He can change things, but he is unchangeable. Nothing can make him change. He is the same. He is the same. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's his name that he inherited. So that name inherited is salvation. Glory to God. Take me back. So look at that. I'm building my thought gradually, all right? He said, "There's a vision, but not just saying their ears fail not." Now look at verse 13. But of which of the angels did he say at any time, "Sit on my right hand"? So you can see. So even angels cannot sit on the right hand. They don't have the life. So that means that right hand is only for those that have the life exactly in God. The life that makes God the same. So to the wisdom of the angels, he said at any time, "Sit at my right hand until I make what?" So, all right. Well, let me just move forward because I wanted to wait on that verse 13. But let me go forward. He says, "Are they not what? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be." Who shall be. So heirs of salvation are heirs of God's life. What did I say? Heirs of salvation are? So this is how I am an heir of salvation. No. You can see that it shall. They didn't say who are heirs of salvation. So you are not yet an heir of salvation. Hell, on today, our eternal everlasting life. On today, and you know a car. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Tosi is doing a teaching online, Heirs of Salvation. I want you to follow him because it has helped Pastor Tosi. It's an outreach to the body, Heirs of Salvation. There's a YouTube on it, so you can always follow it. I'm sure you'll be blessed. So, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? It is even, he said, for them. Now, who shall be heirs of salvation? So, you are not yet a heir of salvation, but you shall be. It's a promise. So, heirs of salvation are heirs of God. Are heirs of God's inheritance. What did I say heirs of salvation are? Is that clear? So, we have to move to chapter 2. Amen. Before I release you today.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
God is saving you.
Amen.
They are saving you from, part of it is that they are saving you from vanity.
Amen.
Now let's now go to verse 2. So I want you to see the sense of apostolic architecture, the building of thoughts, or breakthrough in apostolic thoughts. Now it says, therefore. So you can't say therefore if there's nothing that is therefore. So chapter 2 verse 1 is a continuation of chapter 1. So therefore, we ought to give what? More earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So those things is the, what they heard is the gospel of salvation. Now, so we have gospel in two categories. What did I say we have? We have the gospel of peace, which is the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then we have the gospel of what? Salvation, or the gospel of God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good things, comma, and publisheth peace. So there's a gospel of good things that you publish peace. It's also called gospel of peace. Then that bringeth forth what? Good tidings of good. That's the next allocation of the gospel. That now publisheth what?
Salvation.
So heirs of salvation must hear good tidings of good.
Yes, sir.
Meaning they must have good things first.
Yes,
come on, can we say amen?
Yeah.
Then Paul gave us interpretation of this in Romans chapter 10. Alright? Gospel of peace. How shall they preach except this is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, comma. So that's the first gospel. It's called peace. So meaning when you hear that gospel, you must land in peace. Peace is the next frontier in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. So righteousness, outer court. So that outer court is not a carnal man. He's a man of righteousness of the kingdom. Then peace, holy place. So that is not full kingdom. It's just a measure of dominion. So Christ is a dominion in the dominion of God. So that's why it's called the kingdom of Christ and God. I don't know if I'm making sense. Then, and bring glad tidings of good things. Isaiah called it good tidings of good. Paul called it glad tidings of good things. And this is supposed to make you publish what? Salvation. So you can't publish salvation without good things, hearing good things of God. There is a message. So is this message of eternal life that will make you publish salvation? Yes. Now take me back. Amen. To so let us therefore what give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we at any time we should want. It's a very slippery word. It's a very slippery word. You can let it slip.
Yes, sir.
You can even be in a company of Christ and not appreciate salvation. For some people, they start having issues with us when we journey into everlasting things. Says, oh, no. At this point, I know they do. It's okay. Christ is Christ. It takes some mercy. It takes some mercy and help from God. But what I normally say is that before you judge, check. I think many people are not too open. And at times, just the process of having to learn again is not really easy. The problem is with ministers. Want to master something very early. Okay, tell me. Okay. Go, be going. I've already gotten it. It's not like that. You have to keep learning. We have to be mixed somewhere. You know, all of us are learning, including myself. I was telling my wife when I went to Ndorem, she taught a message. It was terrible. It was teaching on the law and testimony, but it was a lot of breakthrough.
Yes,
and you know the interesting thing? We are all sitting down, and he was receiving the thoughts, also fresh. He was receiving the fresh, and we are all learning. So it was like preaching together.
Yes, sir.
That's how it is. So you need to be very meek to join in this part.
Yes,
you will say something that 5 years after, it is outdated. Because light is progressive.
Yes,
so a lot of people don't like that nature of God that is mobile. So, for if the word, now this is where I'm going. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. So, what is the word? It was their witness. It was their salvation. Yes, Pastor, you're right. But it was, they were prophets of that word. So, this word is the spoken word of angels. It's not the word of angels. Amen. There's a difference between the word of angels that is law. And the spoken of word of angels that is prophecy. So this is now their own prophecy, which is salvation. So when they say something is a prophecy, it means you're already living it out as a witness. So if the word spoken, so the spoken word of angels is the salvation of angels. So if the word spoken, so what do you think had the spoken word of angels? Cherubs. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. So they were the ones that were the older of the salvation of God, salvation of that dominion of life. So if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that's the characteristic of the word. So it means that it was an everlasting, that word had everlasting strength. So there is everlasting strength of the angels. That's why sin has everlasting strength. Because sin is a perversion of angelic law. Sin has some everlasting strength. But sin is not as everlasting as God's everlasting life. God has everlasting life that is stronger than sin. That's why it is God's everlasting life that will deal with sin completely. So the reign of righteousness begins with everlasting life. So when you are reigning in everlasting life, you already have dominion over sin. And not just sin, death. The eternal God is our refuge. Underneath him are you what? Everlasting arms. So that's the arm of the living and the true God. And it shall say, he shall what? Thrust out the enemy and say, destroy them. So all the enemies will be made footstool. So it is everlasting life of God that handles all the enemies of God. They will thrust it out. Now let's go back to Hebrews 2. Let me just conclude my thoughts. Now look at it. So if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and what? Every transgression and disobedience received what? It's talking about transgression of angels. How much more? How shall we escape? Listen to this. How shall we escape? If we want so great what? So it means the word of angels is what? The word of their salvation. So the kingdom of angels is their own salvation. So kingdom is actually salvation. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be what? So Jesus, can we say amen?
Amen?
So Jesus was the one that began to speak it first. Jesus was prophesying salvation when he was on the flesh at several levels until he came into full ownership of it at the cross and was continued by us unto, and it was confirmed unto us by them that what? Amen. I like the word so great salvation. So now look at it. So angels have their word. What did I say? And their word is how they control their world. It's not English. You need word to hold a world. What did I say? Say that one more time. So angelic word was held by angelic word. So the word spoken by the angels made them have dominion over the present. Because the earth is under the heavens. So an angel does not just have dominion in the heavens of heavens. They also have dominion on the earth. So Jesus himself had the word. They began, Jesus also grew in world context. I believe that Jesus started with the earth word. Jesus himself, they grew his word. Jesus, as he was growing, now, Jesus did not preach, but he had word.
Yes.
He started preaching at age 30. He had word before then. By age 12, he had word of the Holy Ghost already, and even a little bit into word of Christ. Word of Christ. Because he was already asking, talking about the Father's business. So he knew more than the word of the Holy Ghost. How do you think God raised Jesus? God raised Jesus by doctrine. All those same things they taught apostles to teach nations was what they used to raise him. So by the time Jesus clocked 30, he now began with the word of everlasting life. But he had other word inside him. He had other word inside him. He had the word of Christ. He had the word of the Holy Ghost. He now began, Jesus began ministry with the word of the Father. Jesus began ministry with the word of the Father. So you see, Jesus will not say anything, my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father. It's because that was the word that he was holding and obeying while he was on the earth. And then he finished obeying that word and entered into the glory that he had before the world began. So you had the word of the Father. Then you now have the glory before the world began. That glory is the state that he was as the word in eternal life. I need an amen there. So now look at this. This is where I'm going. So for you to hold a word, they will first give you the word. So you do the word, you do the works, you come into the testimony, then you enter into the prophecy. Then you begin to speak the word. When you are speaking the word of a word, it means you are holding that word. What does it mean to speak it? You are living it. You are witnessing to it. That's what a prophet is. We have reduced prophetic ministry to just always predicting. There's a higher prophetic ministry. It's called witnessing. They are prophets of way. Abraham was a prophet. He never said, "Thus hear the Lord." Adam was a higher prophet than he's higher prophet than many fivefold prophets today. But he was a prophet because he was a walker of way. So Abraham became a witness. He became an everlasting witness. Till tomorrow, you still talk about Abraham. So that's a prophet. A prophet is a holder of a word. What did I say a prophet is? Or a holder of a dominion. Prophets are men of dominion. Entities of dominion. Prophets carry garments. Kingdoms are their garments. So they said Moses was the meekest man on earth. That was a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Somebody tried to take his wife. God fought. And I believe you say, I've taken the wife of a prophet. That's a prophet. A prophet, when you come into dominion, your dominion begins to wage war against your adversary. It's not good to offend a prophet. Because they don't even need to fight you. Their world will fight you. Their world always defends them. Their world will fight you, sir. My world will fight you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at verse 4 and 5. Then, you know, let me pick my thoughts somewhere there. All right. So God bearing them witness, you can see. So meaning that God bearing them witness. So both with what? Wonders and diverse what? And what? Gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All right, this is another stuff here. You know, I'm just seeing some alignment there. Now, let's go further. It says, for unto the angels and did not put what? The world to come. Whereof we want? So, the world is attached to word. So, that world to come is the dominion of the world to come. It is attached to the word that they are speaking. So, if God will bring you into the dominion, he will give you the word. He will first give you the word as law. So there's a word as law. There's a word as testimony. There's a word as prophecy. Let me say that. Let's say that again. You are not answering me. There's a word as law. There's a word as testimony. There's a word as what? Prophecy. Now you hold the word. When the word of a word. You hold the word of a word when you have the prophecy.
Wow.
Meaning you are finished the curriculum to own that word. Now, at the end of every obedience, they make you wear the word as a garment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you wear a word as a garment. So you now see when they say put on Christ. It means you have finished the word.
Yes,
you have finished the word. They then say, wear the word.
Yes,
so you are supposed to wear your word.
Yes,
as nature.
Yes,
so when you put on Christ, you are wearing the word of Christ. Sir, if you can put on Christ, it means you can put on God.
Yes, sir.
So name. I'm ending. When you say somebody has name, it is a word. So when they say, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, let them be wearing words. So, sir, there is a word of the Holy Ghost. A name of the Holy Ghost. It's a word. You will wear it as a nature. Some people have Holy Ghost in them. Some people carry Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, when you carry that, I believe that some of our fathers have it. So that when they go somewhere, certain things just happen. They are witnessing. Someone like that Adeboye, I believe he has it. I'm always using him. Yeah, I'm sure he has the word of the Holy Ghost. And he has it by commensurate meekness. I believe that Daddy Umar quite has the Holy Ghost. There are some things that are easy for them. Those things just witness for them. You know? So, those authorities are not just by faith. You know, I was watching Bayana conference when Daddy Umar Okwara just said, in 5 minutes, something will come upon you now. Kilosoro. Ashore. That's a garment talking. It's not faith. It's prophecy. It's not just faith. I have faith. No, it's not having faith. He is already telling you what will happen. That's a prophet talking. A prophet of an operation. He knows it like he knows himself. It's a name that he has. It's part of the entourage that follows him. I said you will come into full name.
Yeah.
Sir, when you have the name of salvation, you know what follows you? Listen, 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 listen. When you wear the name of the Father, you know what follows you? Deathlessness.
Yeah.
Deathlessness is the train that follows the name of the Father. Sinlessness and deathlessness. Because the living God makes you sinless. The true God makes you deathless. Those are the vestures of the name of the Father. It means, sir, you'll be so decked that you'll become impervious to sin, impervious to death. Why do you think the last enemy is death? Meaning that's the last thing to conquer before you sit on the throne. So it's an enemy. Death is an enemy. That death there is beyond falling in the body. It is It is not corrupting. Debt is corruption. The actual debt is perishing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
There were many men that became inheritors of God's life, but they left this body. Yes. But they left as overcomers.
Yes,
then many of them judged death.
Yes,
many of them, they decided to go.
Yes,
they were greater than death.
Yes,
what do you think, like someone like John the Beloved? John did not make nonsense of death. I now understand all those things. No wonder they could not kill him.
Yes,
they tried everything.
Yes,
Foxes books of Master called Shekusa. The man stayed longer in the body.
Yes,
because of the operation of the true God. It's true God. When you come into the era of the true God, you are coming to deathlessness. John was defying death. They took him to, they did all kinds of things. They said they tried to saw him. He was unsawable. You don't understand? Even his body became Tom and Jerry body. You know Tom and Jerry? Therefore, they put him into a boiling oil. He entered into boiling oil. The nature played out. Anything created cannot harm that life. So boiling oil is created. So John is there one day that what can we do to this man? So they banish him to Patmos. So that he can maybe you just wild animal will eat him. So can we say amen? Hallelujah. So that last season he went to Patmos. It was the season of perfecting the understanding that will make the church sit on the throne. So John went to receive that. So I'm only showing you that when you have the name of the Father, you come into full everlasting reign.
Yes, sir.
Now the name of the eternal God in rounding is an additional name, but it's given to only overcomers. Is given to overcomers, those that have overcome. So you can't have the name of God, which is the name of the only true God, without wearing the dominion of the Father, the dominion of the Son, and the dominion of the Holy Ghost. So, Pastor, you will have all the three dominions to have the name of the only true God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Thank you for showing me. Are you following me? So you have the name of the Holy Ghost, the name of Christ the Son, and the name of the Father. Then they will now add to you what the Bible calls my new name. This is the name that he got after resurrection. This is the name that he got by inheritance. It's his most excellent name. So they are in this place, they are everlasting names there. To him that overcome, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God? You know, we have two pillars in the temple. Jason and Boaz. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So those are everlasting names. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem. Then that says, which cometh out from heaven from God. Then I will write upon him my what? New name. So you need the new name to serve the only true God. What did I say? You need the Father's name to serve the true God. The true God is actually the Father, but you need that name to serve him. That name is the authority that you cannot carry his dominion fully. So that is what we see in Revelation 14. Revelation 14 is the name of the true God. Or the seal of the true God. You know, we have been talking about sealing. Alright? So Revelation 14 is the seal of the true God. Seal of the true God. So with the seal of the true God, it means you are you can serve the Father that is the true God. But it does not end there. Can we say amen? Amen. You need name to serve fully. A servant is just not a servant that is a witness. Is someone that has the seal already. That's the approval that you can operate that name without restraint. Without any form of restraint. So the 144,000 carried the name of the Father as their inheritance. Meaning they were like witnesses of the Father. But there is still one, which is inheriting the promise of eternal life. And this is what God is doing in this age. That is, now this name of eternal life is the Song of Songs. What did I say the name of eternal life is? Songs are everlasting. It's plural. So there's a song of the living God. There is a song of the true God. But there's a song of the living and true God. It's a song higher than those songs. So the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. So this guy is not an ordinary guy. He means that he was an everlasting, he had everlasting thought that broke into some level of eternity. It was Satan that fought Solomon. Satan wanted to spoil him. Jedidiah. He had wisdom that could break into the most holy, holy of holies of God. And enter, pierce into certain thoughts of eternity. It was not an ordinary, because love is the greatest mystery. Jedidiah was not an ordinary boy. That's why they said, David, no, you cannot do this thing. It's your son that will do it. So Jedidiah was not an ordinary man. Love is the highest of all mysteries. So, Solomon is the John of the New Testament. He's the John of the Old Testament, yes. So, the book of Solomon is a mystery of love. Between the bride and the king. And that's why in the book of Revelation closes by the bride. The bride. It's everything about the book of Revelation 21 and 22 is bride. It's bridal church. Reigning church. Glory. Eternal reigning church. So, Song of Solomon. That's why it's not easy to understand the book. It's not a book to teach how to toast a sister. But you can use it. A carnal mind cannot even read the book. Because it talks so much about the organs of a woman there. Yeah, yeah. So when you are carnal, you can't appreciate it. So the Song of Songs. So what is the song? The song is the new name. So it means the queen, which is the bride, will have that song. Now, so you cannot learn the song of the only true God without having the name of the Father. Can we go to Revelation? Let's end there. Amen. I think we have a good journey here. Just end there. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
This is actually the project of God for this dispensation. And now let's start from Revelation 1, okay, 14 verse 1. And look, a lamb stood on Zion, Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having what? Written where? In their foreheads. All right. Next verse, please. And I heard a voice from heaven as it were, as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. So redemption makes you have an harp. All of them had harps. Can we say amen? And the song, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. Everybody say, no man. And no man could what? Learn that song. So that's the Song of Songs. Already they had harps, meaning they had songs. For you to have harps, you have songs. You have songs of redemption. But there's a song older than redemption song. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No man could learn that song. So I like the word learn. So it means eternal life is now an understanding to learn. When we learn that, for those that have the name of the Father, so you need the Father's name to come into the real promise of God for man. And this is the promise he has promised us. Even what? Eternal life. So eternal life is a song. It's only the bride, it's only the queen that is reigning that can sing that song. Only. It's a song. You are called to give God a song. Your life should render him a redeemed to God. Amen. And that is what the bride is. The bride will be decked with the perfections of God. So she can sing a song. So it means it's only the bride that can minister to the Lamb. The bride is the only one that can minister or can give pleasure. That's what it means. It's only the bride that can give pleasure to the Lamb. You can't please the Lamb except you have learned that song. So that song is a song of the Lamb. It's a song of the bridegroom that is a Lamb. Amen. In closing, this is why you are on earth. To acquire this stature so that you can sing the song of the Lamb. May our days on earth bring us to a place where God can teach us this song.
Amen.
That's all. That's how your life has meaning. That God can teach you a song inside him, a rhythm, an harmony of life that is his life. That while you're on earth, you can learn that song. You know what I want to tell you? See, please. This world is passing away. Don't stay here. What I mean, don't stay here. You are here, but you are not here. Don't remain here. If a time will come on the agenda of things on this dispensation, then they must not meet you on earth. By the time the dragon is cut down to the earth, sir, you must not be on earth. If you are on earth, there's a woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So if you're on the earth, it's going to be a bad time. A bad time, man. When you're on the earth, when the dragon has been cut down, and you are still on earth, his torment. He's going to disturb people that are in the flesh. In fact, they have been taken over by him. Now, if you are in the flesh, and Revelation 13 meets you, you will worship the beast. You will not even know the difference. You wonder at the beast. Because the beast is a wonder of the dragon. You will just be wondering at the beast. So, brethren, it's time to vacate the earth completely. It's time to quickly leave the flesh. So, this is a campaign to journey out of flesh. It's a campaign to take your ascension into the heavens. Enter into the heavens and then get to the name of the Father and inherit that name. That is what you are called to do. That is what you should be doing. May the Lord grant us grace. With long life shall he satisfy you. So you now see the reason why they need to give you long life. And he shall give you what? His salvation. So his salvation there is his Father's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
May the Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
May the Lord give you his peace.
Amen.
May the Lord put his name upon you.
Amen.
And bless you with his salvation.
Amen.
Can we begin to talk to the Lord?
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.